class recently, going about my daily activities, I've run into Brother Jimmy McCarter. First time, he said, "Do you realize it's been just about a year since I've been to your church?" A couple of weeks later, I run into him and he said, "Guess what? I'm coming to your church." So I ask that you listen prayerfully as Dr. Jimmy McCarter brings God's word.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning, church. It's good to be back with you this morning. Last couple of weeks, I've had hoarseness, and I preached three times last Sunday and then Wednesday night, and so I told my wife, I said, I better go to the clinic, at walk-in clinic, and see if I can get a little help. So I went on Thursday, and I told the lady, I said, I don't have any fever. I'm just hoarse. And of course, that turned into a shot. But it's still giving me trouble. So you bear with me this morning, okay? I'm assuming that a lot of you are happy today. I know David is, and my buddy back there with his orange on, and over here. I tell you what, I'm one of these guys, if they don't do good, I whip it off and watch something else. Do you ever do that? Now talk to me this morning, all right? I know you're not dead. But I watched a little of it, and then I turned it. And when I turned it back, lo and behold, they were winning. And I thought, well, I might ought to stay with this. We need to stay with them winners or losers, don't we? All right, take your Bibles and let me talk to you about the comfort of God, all right? All of us need comfort at some time or another in our lives. Greg led you in the responsive reading from the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, and that's where I want to find ourselves today. And of course, I'm going to zero in on verses 3 and 4 and talk about the God of all comfort. Paul, in writing this letter to the Corinthian church, was saddened and frustrated about what was happening at the church that he had founded just 4 years before. He was being viciously slandered by an arrogant group of adversaries. And if you studied the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll see what he went through in his ministry. See, before Paul's conversion, he was out against the church, and he was doing all he could to destroy the church. But then when Christ arrested him on the road to Damascus, and he became a Christian, and his life was turned around. From that moment on, Paul suffered at adversaries against him that once was for him. So in this second letter, this was really a document to prepare them for a visit. He sent this letter from Macedonia and then journeyed to Corinth himself. Paul revealed the problem in chapter 11 of this book. False apostles had infiltrated the Corinthian church. And as we examine what Paul has gone through, the aches and the pains and the many beatings and shipwrecked and stones, he surely knew what comfort was all about. So this is what I want to talk to you about for a few moments this morning. And out of these two scriptures in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, I found four principles that I want to share with you, all right? Principle number one, God is the God of all comfort. That's what Paul said here. And the God of all comfort. Now all of us at some time need comfort. And he comforts us like a father. Here's a child that comes in and says, "Dad, I've got a problem. I'm going through a situation that I can't handle. What does the father do? He comforts that child. And he sits down with that child. And he talks with that child. And he cares for that child. And he has compassion. That's what God does for us, church. When we have problems and burdens and situations we can't handle, God comes and puts his arms around us and helps us and encourages us and comforts us. His promises are so sweet. He said he would never leave us nor never forsake us. And I stand on that, don't you? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. His love is deep. Remember, God's love, God loves us, and this is never going to change. Regardless of where we are, regardless of what we do, regardless of what comes in our lives, God's love is never going to change for you and for me. God's hope is eternal. So God is the God of all comfort. That's principle number one. And then principle number two, God comforts us in all of our troubles. Whatever we face, church, remember, whatever we face, God has a promise to us for that situation. We may receive bad news, but God knows all about it. I've been in the ministry now for 58 years. And through those years, how many times has my phone rang and I've gotten a call and somebody would say, "Pastor, my mother's passed away, my father's passed away, my child has passed away, we need you." And I've gotten in the car, drove to a home or drove to a hospital and sat down with a family and said, "God, give me words that I can say to them that will bring them a little comfort and assurance during this time." See, God comfort us. He's going to bring us comfort in all of our troubles and situations. We go to the doctor, and the doctor says, "I've done all that I can do." You know what Ozell and I have been going through now for over 2 years with our son Anthony. He's got crippling MS. He cannot walk. About a month ago now, we were coming from church. We knew that he'd been not feeling good on that Friday and Saturday. And we started home from church. And I said to Ozell, I said, "Why don't you call Anthony and just see how he's doing before we go eat?" And she called. And when our granddaughter answered the phone, we knew something wasn't right. She said, "The ambulance is on the way to the hospital with Dad. He's got a blood clot. It's bad. And we're on our way now to the hospital." So Zell and I went home and changed clothes, and her two sisters came and took us to Maryville. We got there. The blood clot was from his groin to his foot. The doctor looked at him and said, "There's no way we can wait till Monday to do anything. We've got to do it today. I've got to call in a crew and we've got to do something." Took him to surgery and operated, put a stent in there where they could start trying to break up that thing. And when we got there, he was in CCU. And I stood there and I looked at my son. And I thought, "God, for over 2 years now, this has gone on. We've cried, we've prayed, we've sought your face, we've said, Lord, why?" Church, God doesn't always tell us why, does he? He doesn't always tell us why. But see, he's there, and his comfort is there, and his assurance is there, and his promise is there that he's going to take care of us, that he's going to be there, and he's going to help us in every situation. Well, Anthony stayed in the hospital, and then they moved him to rehab. And we're going to go to see him as soon as church is over today, and he's done so good. He's so encouraged. Now, when he says, "I've taken a step," that means that on a big walker, he's drug himself a few steps. And he's so thrilled. He called, he said, "Oh, I've taken 5 steps today," or "I've taken 6 steps today." To him, that's Oh, that's so thrilling, you know. Folks, listen, we don't know what we're going to go through in this life, but we've got a God that's full of comfort. Amen? Yeah, we've got a God that's full of comfort. So God is going to comfort us in all of our situations, in all of our trials, in all of our hurts. Principle number 3, God expects us to convey His comfort to others. Notice what He said in these verses, that we're going to be able to comfort others. And folks, that's our duty as a Christian. That's our duty as a child of God, that we can be a comfort to somebody else. We can share to others what's happened in our lives, what we've faced. See, this is what Paul could do. He could say, look at me, look at everything I've gone through in my ministry. And yet, the Apostle Paul could stand true and steadfast in God's love and grace and mercy and know that God was going to comfort him. So we can comfort each other. There's a friend that you could comfort. There's a loved one that you can comfort. There's somebody that you can stand by, put your arms around at times and say, I just want to tell you, I'm praying for you. I don't know how many churches that I've encountered that have let me know we're praying for Anthony. We care for him. And they don't even know him, but they're concerned and they care. Folks, that's what it's all about in the body of Christ, that we care for each other, that we love each other, that we're concerned about each other, and that we comfort each other in times of need. Well, let me give you number 4. Principle number 4, we should praise God for this great comfort. Notice what Paul said in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. In other words, he said, we need to bless God for what he's done for us. Have you blessed him for his comfort in your life? Have you blessed him? Have you blessed him? Church, we're so blessed. Did you know that? When I'm not preaching, we go to First Baptist Church Decatur. And they've been on a mission trip this week to Haiti. And the reports that we got back, one of the things they were doing, we think, well, if you got a pencil, that's great. But over there, they were teaching people. Now listen to this, church. They were teaching adults how to hold a pencil in their hand. They'd never had anything like that. They'd never experienced anything like that. And they were teaching them how to hold a pencil in their hand. They were teaching adults how to do that. Folks, we're blessed, aren't we? We're so blessed in this country. God's been so good to us in this country. We need to bless His name for His comfort. Then let me ask you, have you passed this comfort on to somebody else? Do you know somebody even right now this day that needs to be comforted? Have you passed along a word of encouragement to them? Have you said to them, I love you, I care for you, I'll do anything I can to help you? Have you done that today? See, God's glory is going to shine in suffering. When they're suffering, God will get glory and honor out of it. I don't know why that our son has had to go through all of this. I don't know why our family's had to go through all of this, but I do know one thing. God's still on the throne. God's still in charge, and he's going to have the final say. And when it's all said and done, he'll get glory and honor and praise. Do you agree? Yeah, he'll get glory, honor, and praise. All right, here's what I want you to do this morning. I'm going to ask Janice to come to piano. I noticed in the order service, just as I am. So I'll tell you what, we're not going to sing today. I'm going to let Janice play. I want us to